We have a common friend, Prime Minister Helen Clark, and she highly recommended that I speak to you about this. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you so much. Prime Minister Clark is in the middle of the Atlantic, in the South Atlantic, in my part of the world, so she cannot connect. So I'm happy to be here today.
Susanna Malcora, thank you so much for joining me today on How I Got Through It. You know, it means so much to me that you would spend your time here with us, helping us to understand what's happening in Israel and Gaza and giving us a different perspective and a different lens, because you're privy to some of the conversations that's happening behind closed doors. And obviously your career precedes you. You've been appointed to the Executive Office of the United Nations. You're currently the president of Global Women Leaders. You also wrote the book In Pursuit of What Matters. And maybe that's a great place to start the conversation about what really and truly matters here. Because, you know, I'm sitting in my home looking at images and videos of what's happening over in Israel. And I understand that as a woman that's exercising her choices and I have agency in my life, every moment that I exercise agency in my life, I understand that a woman across the world doesn't have that same opportunity. And in fact, her agency is diminishing. Can you tell me what are the consequences of a war like this on women's equality?
Well, you know, it is clear that wars always affect women and girls, children, I will say at large, in a disproportionate level. So the first thing is against any war. It seems like an empty message in the current context, but this is exactly what we need. And women are the ones who not only share most of the burden, mm-hmm. but most of the time, they are the ones who are able to seek solutions. Mm-hmm. I always say that women are the ones who find solutions to problems because they are the ones most affected by them. Mm-hmm. And in my view, what we need here is a call for restraint, mm-hmm. a call to begin with a ceasefire, if not permanent, at least a temporary ceasefire, to allow for humanitarian aid to go in into Gaza. We need, no question, we have to appeal to Hamas to release the people who they are having in their hands. This affects women in the Israeli side, mothers, sisters, daughters. So we need to appeal for the release of the hostages. But I say we need to appeal to all parties involved, beyond the Palestinians, the Israelis, beyond Hamas, all the region, I would argue the world, to discuss ways to find a solution to the problem that has been with us for almost 80 years and that has created conditions for things to go all in the absolutely wrong direction that they are going. Mm-hmm. So that's an appeal that we must do as women. And I am convinced that if we find a way to sit down and think about the root causes, we will find a way forward. So far, we have been unable.
What, and when you say the root causes, I know that you have been through wars before. What do you think that we should be focused on as a woman? We're talking to another woman that maybe sees something differently from us, has a different perspective from us, on a different side from us, right? Like has a completely opposite perspective. What is your suggestion? Take it back to our daily activities and how we interact with each other. What is your suggestion when we're speaking to someone? Because you obviously also have very high level conversations, probably with people that don't believe what you believe. So as a woman as well, how can we have these conversations with our fellow women to take a step forward, to come up with a solution?
Well, first of all, what I would say is that to solve problems, big problems, recurrent problems, intractable problems, you need to speak with all involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easier to speak with the ones that think like you. Mm-hmm. It's easier to speak with friends. But, you know, speaking with friends, you do it over a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. Is you don't do that to solve a conflict. Mm-hmm. In a conflict, we need to be able to listen to others. Because there is no way to address a problem of the magnitude that we are seeing here without trying to find common ground.
Right.
And common ground means bringing perspectives from different angles. Let me stay clear here. I'm not suggesting that a terrorist attack like the one that just happened can be justified in any shape or form.
Right.
I'm not saying that the things that had happened are acceptable, not at all. But what I'm saying is the Palestine people have a perspective, have been taken as shields, have been hijacked by this group. And now we need to find the way for those voices and the voices of the women in Palestine to be here. Because they are the ones who will bring options to the table. It is very, very difficult because Israel has been impacted in a way that is no one would have ever thought about. So it's clear that there is a reaction. That is a reaction that comes very deep from grief, from the sense of loss, from the sense of vulnerability. So Israel has the right to react. But having the right to react has to do it in a manner that it complies with international law, complies with the rules of law, but also in a way that doesn't make matters worse.
Right.
And we are at this very point in a situation where a provocation of the size that Hamas has made can launch a crisis of regional proportions. Mm-hmm. Not only the crisis between Palestinians and Israelis, Israelis and Palestinians. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need to be able to call for constraint, which is very difficult, I understand, because the emotions are running high, and are running high for reasons that are understandable.
Right.
Yeah, are valid. But when that happens is when you need to really look into the situation, think what is going to be in the best interest of all parties, starting with Israel. And if peace for Israel, if a situation that it really brings back that notion of security that Israel and the Israeli people value so much could come from a confrontation or could be worsened by a confrontation.
Yeah. And also listening to you, you also bring up incredible points about speaking with other people and understanding that this is not something where you take a side. You have to look at the problem holistically and the conflict holistically and consider all sides. How are you as a woman dealing with this, seeing all of the images, also knowing a lot of the behind the scenes? How are you dealing with this on a day-to-day?
It's very hard to cope, very hard to cope. First, because we have people that we know,
right,
who are in the middle of this. Mm-hmm. It's not that you see it only from the distance. I speak with people on both sides that have been affected, either directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. So you get that sense of frustration because it's something of this nature could have happened and unleash all emotions as it has done. So I am not a distant person analyzing a situation. I feel very close, even the proximity I have to people from either side, from both sides. But the more proximity I feel, the more I am convinced that it is important to pause and try and find a way where things are not made worse. And that's my biggest question here. What is in the best interest of Israel to ensure that their future is guaranteed in a context of security that they value so much, and I understand why they value so much, while it is also looking in the interest of the Palestinian people and their rights and their future, their own future. Of course, there is a very unpalatable player here, which is Hamas. No question about it. We have seen in other parts of the world that dealing with an organization like Hamas, it requires also strategic thinking, which is not a straight upfront battle.
Right.
So that's the point, you know, how we go about, and that's why we need to request Hamas to release the hostages, fundamental condition, because that will at least appease the hearts of many people. As we asked for Israel and Egypt to allow for humanitarian aid to go through. And in the meantime, the players in the region in particular to play their role in trying to find valves that release a little bit of the tension by the time to then see whether there is a way to go back to a negotiating table, which has not been the case for many years now.
Right.
And that tension accumulated and
it compounds over time.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Of course.
Yeah. The last question that I wanted to ask you, and it kind of ties into everything that you've spoken before, is out in the world, you hear it, you see it on social media. It is almost that people don't value a human life anymore, right? Regardless of what side you're on. There was a time when anyone that was killed was just an outrage all over the world. Now we're finding that people don't value, they're desensitized maybe because we're exposed to this. Every couple of months, it might seem that something big is happening in the world. We just all came out of a pandemic. What can you say to people that maybe have lost that sense of a value of a human life? And how can they start to have compassion? How do you have compassion, even though you have been seeing these things for many years?
Well, I am a deep believer that cynicism doesn't get us anywhere.
Right.
That only through caring, you can eventually get to solve problems, to address questions, and to essentially live in peace with others. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I tackle things. I'm beyond all the problems we see, mm-hmm. I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
I am the type that thinks that there will be a way to find an opening.
Right.
And I will work for that opening. And that is something that I believe women have in their way of being. Probably because we have the responsibility to bear children, to bring families together, to carry on with our own careers while we do so many other things. We have that solution-seeking approach and that notion of, let's find a way. Mm-hmm. I am a president of GWN Voices, a group of women that work on multilateralism and women empowerment. We argue that having more women in leadership positions will yield different results in some of these questions that you raised. And we saw that during the pandemic, you know, some of the places where the pandemic was best handled were led by women. So I think that we are at a turning point in our history, that this situation, which just happened, allows for us to either find new ways, not only for the Israelis and Palestinians, for the world at large, or go back into an over-militarized reality where we do not care about the well-being of the peoples. We do not care about the development, the sustainable development of the peoples. We do not care about the well-being of our earth, which is part of the tensions, because that will also bring other conflicts into fruition very, very soon.
Right.
If we don't care about all of that, then what is there to care about? And I believe we women can play a significant role in that regard.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you too. I am from Barbados and we have a female prime minister and we have seen leadership from the top down that is compassionate, that considers all sides. And I'm very proud to have come from that. I also believe that if more women strive for leadership positions, we would have a different way of negotiating and different aspects and facets that we're looking at as well.
You have to have passion and compassion.
Yes. Yes.
You have to be sympathetic to the other, empathic with the other. And I'm not saying men don't have these characteristics. I would be absolutely wrong to say that.
Right.
But I would say they're more apparent in women. And so if we have men and women, but more women participating in a proportionate manner to what we represent as part of the societies, I think that will make a big difference.
Yeah. And you said a very key word in there. You said an empathetic approach. And empathy really just means you're able to step out of your own shoes and step into the other side's shoes and be able to feel what they feel and understand how they see the problem holistically to then be able to come back to the negotiation table and be able to have a proper negotiation.
Let me just add this, not to win over.
Right. Right.
Not to, which is key.
Yes. Yes. That is actually a fundamental point. You're not trying to overshadow them or win this situation, but you're trying to come together to come up with a solution, the art of solutioning. Thank you so much, Susanna, for your perspective. It also has helped me, reminding me also that I need to look at all sides and look at the problem holistically, be empathetic, like we talked about, and just be compassionate when I'm seeing all of the images. You know, my heart breaks every time I see an image. Sometimes I have to step away because it is so heartbreaking, but also being able to come back, because you can't just walk away from this situation as a woman. I'm thinking through, what can I do? What can I say? What conversations can I have? And I think conversations like this are very useful because it reminds people that this is a human problem. This is not just happening on the other side of the world. This is also affecting us and has consequences for us in the long term and how we view the world long term. So thank you so much again for spending your time with me from across the world as well.
Thank you, Babna, and I wish you the best.
Thank you.